Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm thrilled to introduce the 150th broadcast in our series. To mark the occasion, we thought we'd provide an interview that was done in front of a live audience at the Exchange Events Best of Breed Conference in Tampa, Florida, a couple of months back. I had the pleasure of interviewing Red Hat CIO Lee Congdon. You'll hear my full interview with Lee, along with some questions from the audience of about 250 IT executives as part of this broadcast. Should you wish to view the video of this interview, you can find a link to it at forumonworldclassit.com. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to our broadcast over the past 5+ years. We hope you'll continue to join us for the next 150 broadcasts and beyond.
The Forum on World Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com.
I'd like to actually bring somebody up who personifies a lot of what I've been describing. He is, in fact, a CIO to the IT industry, to an IT-centric organization, and has had to face several of these very challenges. His name is Lee Congdon. He's the CIO of Red Hat. He joined Red Hat in April of 07. He'd been an IT executive at a variety of companies, including Capital One, NASDAQ, Citibank, and had spent some time at IBM early in his career as well. He has a bachelor's and a master's degree in computer science from Purdue. We won't talk about performance of football teams or anything like that at the moment, but anyway, it's a good school, good engineering program. And he also has an MBA from a different Big Ten school, from Northwestern. Maybe that's the one that you ought to be focusing on, Lee, these days. And I think has that sort of killer combination that we're seeing of engineering undergraduate, in his case also graduate, and MBA. And so that much more of an ability to translate what he is doing into business terms and with the appropriate business acumen. So with that, won't you join me in welcoming Lee Congdon to the stage?
Thanks, Peter.
Lee, welcome.
Thanks.
Great to have you here. Lee, I thought we might begin, for if there happens to be anyone in the audience that's not familiar with Red Hat, just a brief introduction to the company and what it does.
Sure. Red Hat is about 6,000 associates, a $1.3 billion company in our last complete fiscal year. We're in 80 locations around the globe, we probably 30 countries. We, as we say, tongue in cheek, we make money by selling free software. We provide services and support for open source software. Many of you, I hope, know our Linux products. But increasingly, our business is driven by our middleware products, virtualization, our storage business, and looking ahead to the future, our cloud products, OpenStack and OpenShift. And so we're very excited not only about our current product capabilities, but looking forward, what we think we're going to be able to build on those products to deliver excellent cloud solutions.
Well, Lee, as I mentioned in the introduction, you do personify that CIO in a sea of technologists, and you've been in your role now for a number of years, well above, in fact, the average CIO tenure, which I think is a good sign. So what are some of the things that you had to do? You came from financial services, certainly no slouch of an industry when it comes to use of technology, but I have to imagine there still was a quantum leap in some ways of the savviness of your fellow colleagues in terms of technology matters. How did you overcome some of the very issues that I was describing?
Sure, and let me start by, it was and is a journey. You're never done with this, but when I walked in the door, we have what I would call charitably a level zero IT organization. We didn't know what projects we were doing. We didn't know what commitments we had. A month into the job, we took a 2-day outage on our ERP system and couldn't process orders. Sort of classic unmanaged IT. I'm sure that's why they brought somebody in. The first thing we had to do was establish credibility. You need to at least be able to run the engine before you can start to have a dialogue about where you're going from a business perspective and start to contribute strategically. The second thing we did was get the projects in order, decide which ones we could do, which ones we couldn't do, get governance in place to decide what the priorities were, and be able to report reliable status and start to deliver on the project side. Somewhat in parallel with that, we added appropriate IT process, appropriate, I think, being very important here. In a fast-moving business, you can over-ITIL yourself, end up with too much process, and become inflexible. So we used industry best practices, but we didn't focus a great deal on taking them all the way to level 5 because we didn't need that. We needed flexibility, and we knew we'd be jackhammering out the processes a couple of years later if we went too far with that. We became a trusted partner of our business and really focused, to Peter's point, on trying to be in a position to take technology-related business problems off the table. So instead of forcing our businesses through SLAs, forcing them through negotiating requirements, et cetera, we went to an agile development methodology, and we basically said, as we perceive our other peers in the organization, say legal, finance, HR, and so on, if it's technology related, we'll take that and we'll fix it, and you can trust us to do it at an attractive price in a fair time period, and we're gonna be very transparent if you wanna check on that, but don't worry about that, we got it. What we're trying to do now is actually become business advisors to our customers and understand their business in even more depth so we can start to make offers and proposals and actually institute some of those projects rather than simply take it off the table. So that's what we're working on right now.
One of the things I think is so intriguing about your role in Red Hat is Red Hat, as you mentioned, is open source. And in some ways, that can translate into non-hierarchical or less process-driven than perhaps the average organization in some ways. And I wonder, how does that translate into managing a team, Lee? As you are guiding their work and as you are talking to them about what the destination is in the activities that they're pursuing, how, in light of what the company does, do you add structure in an organization that to some extent thrives on the lack of it?
Yeah, it's great. I would say the first thing we had to do was, you know, we were the people that folks like to beat on with a two before when things didn't go right, and that affected the morale of the IT organization. And so over time, as we demonstrated the ability to deliver and started to develop our own agenda, I think we created a pride in the IT organization. You have to be very careful that doesn't slip over into arrogance and, you know, we're from IT, we know better than you. Very unique in Red Hat's culture is the ability for basically anybody in the company to send an email to the company calling out Jim Whitehurst, myself, or any other senior executive and saying, you know, this is a stupid idea. Right. And they say things like that in a reasonably more tactful than they used to way. And we are obligated to explain to listen to the story and to explain our reasoning and to take the input, back to your listening point. And as a consequence, it takes a little getting used to. You know, you walk in the door, somebody starts criticizing the email system, and you say, well, you don't understand my problems, you don't understand my budget, you don't understand what alternatives I've got, you don't understand. But that doesn't float in our organization. I'm obligated to respond to the criticism and put a plan in place to at least prioritize and think about making our associates happy. Interestingly enough, and I think this is going to help us a lot, we see a tremendous opportunity right now, and we're investing strategically in associate productivity. We've got so many consumer-based tools, so many options for collaboration that we think we've done a pretty good job of getting the what I'll call the wholesale systems, the business process systems owned by senior executives operating appropriately. We now have this tremendous opportunity through cloud solutions, collaboration, mobile devices to make our associates more productive. And frankly, as I'm sure in many of your organizations, they don't know what they've got. They don't know the capabilities on their phones. They don't know the services we offer in terms of file sharing, collaboration, video, and so on. We've got to figure out ways to make everybody in the organization more productive. And I think that helps with selling IT internally.
Mm-hmm. I know that one of your mandates, Lee, is innovation. And a great sign. I think that's the destination all IT leaders ought to hope for. The mandate they should wish for. And can you talk a bit about how you shepherd innovation within the course of your work in your organization?
I think we're focused on two things: helping our business understand where innovation exists to make the business better, drive revenue, lower costs. So we focused on that for some time. We hope to up our game there. IT, I'm effectively the business owner for certain things like our collaboration solutions in the organization. And I, as you alluded to earlier, have a view of data across the organization that perhaps no other executive does. So we've picked three themes that we're focusing on in addition to the business-driven innovation. One is getting to cloud. We need to be agile. We need to be flexible. We're not a cloud company similar to the Googles you mentioned, but we're trying to get there fast, and we hope we're ahead of the pack in terms of our peer group doing that. Collaboration and the tools that are available in the consumer space are phenomenal. Interfaces are much better. Clients on the mobile devices are much better. And so we need to make that even more pervasive in terms of allowing our folks to collaborate. Interestingly enough, open source arena, very much text-based email and IRC chat that we need to accommodate legacy systems as well. So we're working on that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, working with our marketing department, with our operations department, and with others to take advantage of all of the data we have about our products, our customers, our opportunities, and thinking about that are areas where we've chosen to drive innovation in the organization. Hmm.
You mentioned earlier that in the early days of your time at Red Hat, thinking about becoming more agile was appropriate, and it would only be natural in an organization like yours, and especially with a mandate of innovation, that agility be something that you're focusing on, and the ability to iterate with a very talented group of technologists inside and outside of IT. One of the interesting nuances from our conversations, Lee, that I know that you've been thinking a lot about and institutionalizing is actually bringing agile to infrastructure, which is not necessarily the most common place in which it's applied. Can you talk a bit about the impetus for that, the way in which you've done that, and at least the extent to which you already know so, some of the results from having done so?
Sure. Well, interestingly enough, we got started on Agile probably as a result of our Partner Center project many years ago. We tried a traditional waterfall approach. We sat down with the business. We documented everything. And 2 years later, we had a pretty okay partner locator function, which was probably 3-4% of the overall functionality we needed. We realized that wasn't going to be fast enough. We'd still be working, my successor would still be working on that project now. So we decided that we'd take a different approach and really focused on integrating Agile into everything we did and focusing on getting an 80% solution out there very quickly and then iterating to get to exactly what the business needed. And oh, by the way, guess what? Seeing that 80% solution helped them figure out what they really wanted, because not everybody knows from the beginning. Most recently, we've focused on what you hear referred to as DevOps, or becoming even more agile end-to-end rather than just developing functionality. Like many organizations, it would take us 6 or 8 weeks or perhaps longer to provision servers and so on. So we've got a highly engaged team right now looking at making our infrastructure agile. And there are some light bulbs popping on over the heads of our systems administrators and our storage administrators and so on. I actually asked my head of InfoSec to lead a larger team, which includes this function, and so we're not throwing away security, we're not throwing away process, we're applying it appropriately, as I described earlier, but we're really thinking about the objective of, we have an idea or the business has an idea, end to end, how can we get it in production quickly, and how can we hold the original developer accountable for what happens in production, similar to many of the web-based firms that you mentioned earlier in the presentation. It's exciting times for us, and we think, people are really juiced up about it, we think that this is going to fundamentally transform how long it takes us to deliver functionality for our business, and it's really re-energized the infrastructure people as well, who in some ways felt threatened by the move to cloud, the fact that they wouldn't be administering hardware systems to the same degree that they have traditionally.
I know, Lee, also from recent conversations, that one of the levers that you choose to pull in order to facilitate IT being the glue across the organization is recognizing the role you have in identifying business processes end-to-end and enacting or proposing ways in which they can be rendered more efficient. Can you talk about the CIO's role generally in contemplating this sort of change?
When I think about the value that CIOs ultimately add to the organization, and by the way, I think this is a curve. There are, and will be for many years, IT organizations that are still focused on keeping the lights on because that's what their business needs, or that's where the bulk of the requirements, or that's what they choose to do. Although more and more businesses, as we shift from an industrial age to an information age, need to contemplate IT as a strategic tool. But I do think focusing my folks and my energies on understanding the business, and IT has a bit of a unique perspective in that in some ways we understand the details of the business processes more than our business partners do. And we can connect the dots to your earlier diagram to be able to show end to end, this is how we can take, you know, full sets of steps out of a process. A recent discussion we had was we had a business process that essentially took some things out of a database, put it in a spreadsheet, had a person in Pune manipulate the spreadsheet in a, by the way, structured and repeatable fashion, and then load it back into another database. And we said, wait a minute, you know, instead of hiring more people as our volume grows, we can take that whole step out and do the transformation right in the database to begin with. That's a technology example, but as we start to think about changing the marketing equation by identifying prospects, by identifying customer opportunities, by analyzing the data, it becomes much more business-driven, and that's what we aspire to.
Excellent. A CIO is only as good as the ecosystem he or she builds, and of course that includes external partners. And I know, like any organization your size, you leverage them creatively. Can you talk a bit about the way in which you engage external partners, kind of what you look for as you do engage them, and the ways in which you define success in those partnerships?
Sure. You know, I'll talk about it from two ways. First of all, I think of it as a portfolio. We have partners that have products and solutions that are no longer meeting our needs that we're phasing out. We have mainstream strategic partners that we're working to evolve our solutions. We have potential partners or partners that we're growing rapidly with, and we certainly have prospective partners that we have an intriguing solution, not quite ready to commit yet, but certainly something we're looking at. So I think of it as a portfolio, but more generally, our strategy is to identify repeatable business processes, tasks we understand well, that aren't directly driving cost reduction or revenue increase, and turn those over to trusted partners in a cloud sourcing sort of model. I hesitate to use the word outsourcing, and we're being very careful at this point not to pitch whole levels of responsibility over the transom, because we still need to understand, to be able to provide the glue across the organization, what those partners are doing for us. And interestingly enough, things come and go. So in some ways, we'd argue legacy phone systems are going out the door. We could turn that over and not worry about it anymore. But we're moving our call management system to the cloud. We've got video capability we didn't have a year ago that we need to integrate and drive associate productivity with. So if my folks didn't understand the nuances of our telephony infrastructure and didn't understand what the opportunities were from an end user, you know, seeing the tickets, understanding the requirements, talking to folks, we wouldn't be in as strong a position to figure out where we're going. Now, we aspire to turn our business relationship managers internally into business consultants and turn over those repetitive tasks to partners. To your earlier point about opportunities for partners, think about it the same way. Come to me and make me an offer that says, Lee, here are some things you can do with your phone system that we can provide a portfolio of capabilities. For me, there are criteria around it needs to be open source. You need to be driving toward the commodity solution, not the proprietary solution. So we have some unique characteristics. Different companies will have different requirements. But to the degree you can make my job easier, understand my vision, and share your perspective from other leading clients so we know what best practice is, that's a real advantage.
That's great. I'd like to shortly open up the questions to the audience, so where you have questions, please get those primed. Lee, though, another question for you. If you buy my logic that the CIO to the within the technology setting has a lot in common with the external partner who wishes to partner with the CIOs, I know that you participate in some customer calls, Red Hat customer calls, so you also are in some ways engaging at least to a degree in some of the sales functions that external partners do with you. And I wonder, what sort of advice do you have? What kinds of things do you think about when you are sitting in a meeting with a client CIO or a prospective client CIO, and how might you translate that to an audience like this one?
This is Sales 101, but do your homework. I get hundreds of solicitations a day selling me SharePoint services. We don't have SharePoint. We aren't going to have SharePoint. So it's unlikely that that is a useful dialogue for us to engage in. So first of all, to the degree through LinkedIn, it's easy now with Business Social, through LinkedIn, through contacts with my organization, through other parts of the industry, understanding what our needs are, do your homework and make me an offer that's relevant and gets my attention, and then be willing to create the illusion that it's a partnership as opposed to a transaction. So don't think about it as, you know, it's the end of the quarter, we got to get this done. And obviously I have partners that are like that and fully understood, but the ones that are more likely to be strategic partners over time are those that we all have end-of-quarter challenges, but that create the illusion that they're inviting me to events, sharing thought leadership pieces, genuinely interested in our business needs and how they map to your capabilities, rather than simply, here's a great price on this if we do it by next week. Nothing wrong with that conversation, but from a strategic partnership, the sort of partnership that grows over time and continues to evolve and expand, taking my business needs into account as well, I think, are important. And certainly that's a transition we're working on in Red Hat right now. As we become more of an enterprise provider with a much broader range of products, it's no longer Linux is a great operating system. The cost equation is much more attractive in an open source platform. And how many instances would you like to subscribe for? It's much more we're an enterprise consultant. We need to think about, what's your cloud strategy? Where can we deliver business value? Where can we help you lower your costs? And so asking yourself those sorts of questions rather than just what's the transaction, I think, is a great place to start.
That's great. With that, why don't we open it up for questions from the audience? Anyone who cares to ask a question, we'll just simply ask, since we've got some viewers at home and in the office, that you wait for the microphone.
I got one right here. Ron?
Hey, Lee, you made a comment earlier, an important one, saying a big priority is getting to cloud. We had a good discussion yesterday with a group of people around the various nuances of the cloud transformation. Can you specifically, what are you driving toward? There's a lot of different ways to take that.
Sure. Where am I going with regard to cloud? We are about 45 or 50% cloud-based today. Largely software as a service, Akamai for Bit distribution, ServiceNow for IT and other service management activities and so on, plus a number of smaller providers. So we've exploited a lot of software as a service solutions. As Red Hat's cloud products come online, and I will confess I have an easy decision. I have to make an architectural decision. I know which platform I'm going to. we are deploying OpenShift, which is our platform as a service offering, internally with actually excellent success, several hundred applications online now. And we think that in addition to all of you having your tablets, your laptops, and other devices, that there's a real opportunity here for platform as a service enabling a whole new range of applications. So that's an experiment for us, but we're excited about that. We have an enterprise service bus today that we're just now upgrading to JBoss 6, and we're actually taking that to the switchyard technology that will be emerging in the future as a Red Hat product, running on the platform as a service offering. So we're actually going to move our enterprise service bus from our data center to a cloud deployment where we have two or so external providers that are running elements of our enterprise service bus, which passes around information about customer, product, order, subscription, and so on, as well as running that partially internally, giving us resiliency, flexibility, ability to grow, and so on. So next big push in that space is getting the enterprise service bus that connects our internal and external systems into a cloud-based implementation. That's going to occur in the coming months. We've got a team that's excited and working on that. I also see the rapid evolution and proliferation of consumer-based collaboration solutions, whether it's document sharing, email, document editing, video, and so on. And so although we run the bulk of that internally, not all today, we've got a Jive instance externally and so on, but we're going to push our collaboration solutions into the cloud, both because we don't add business value by running it, and because getting it into the cloud means our users don't have to go through the firewall to get to it, which substantially enhances productivity, particularly for folks like the sales team that are outside the walls all the time anyway. So those two instances, the collaboration systems and our underlying infrastructure are where we're pushing in the next 12 and 18 months. I think it's a little longer before we move the core ERP systems and some elements of business intelligence out, but parts of business intelligence and running those in the cloud are likely to come in the near future as well. We'd like to be 70% in 2 years, but we certainly don't want to stop there. We'll continue to use our own products internally, of course, but we see great opportunities from an agility and flexibility standpoint in not having to run the virtual machines ourselves anymore.
Peter, I think we got time for one more question.
Great.
Anybody else want to make a comment or a question? I have one. All right, so I would end with this then. What's your relationship today, Lee, like, and Peter's done some work in this regard, with the CMO and the other business leaders? Are you guys hand in hand, kumbaya, you know, versus maybe where you were, you know, 3 years ago? But, you know, there's been a lot of talk at this conference about that alignment. Maybe not alignment, partnership is
with,
probably
with
a better
my CMO?
Word. Yeah.
Yep. So
or CFO for that matter.
CFO,
you know, your business leaders.
I work for the CFO, so we get along great. But but with but I'll come back to that because you mentioned finance, and I think that's one of the lessons I've learned over the years is having finance as a buddy versus a competitor is actually usually advantageous. Jackie Aney, who's our head of marketing, and I are actually, we compete with each other on our up bands to see who can promote the steps in a given day. And I won't say we always agree, but we are always partners. So one of the initiatives I didn't mention, but we're very much focused on, is a new Drupal-based redhat.com that will be launching we're still planning the exact date, but we're certainly working on it aggressively now. And we see ourselves as very much partners with the marketing organization. We have teams that are tightly coupled. We help them with marketing events. We work hard to be a reference customer one program, both with the product division and with the marketing team. We provide them advice on what IT organizations think about. We help them with their data needs and focused on the analyzing all of the data we have and making it available to the marketing organization, very much a priority. So I wouldn't say we always agree, but we always partner and we always talk. From a finance perspective, being part of the finance organization helps, but having the controller as a peer means that we have the ability to pretty easily get finance aware of our needs, understand our situation, and be able to represent us even when we're not in the room in terms of IT expenditures and why we need to do that. So that has actually been very healthy and very productive. Transparency within Red Hat's culture has helped drive that. We don't try and hide 5 or 10% slush fund anywhere. We're pretty open about where we're spending our money. That helps us both with finance and with the broader organization. It's a great question.
Yeah, that's great. So won't you all join me in thanking Lee Congdon for the wonderful insights he's shared?
Thank you.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat believes in the power of openness and shared knowledge to transform how we all do business. Learn more at redhat.com. Listen to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business.
The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.